Tonight we want to open our Bibles again to the book of Nehemiah and the second chapter, Nehemiah chapter 2. Tonight we want to conclude the message that we started last week from the second half of this chapter. We are discovering from the study of the book of Nehemiah how God can faithfully use His people to complete His work. Now, you and I live in a time when it's becoming increasingly more difficult to faithfully fulfill God's will in our generation. Our world, the Bible tells us, is waxing worse and worse. Sin is rampant. And the society as a whole is running from God Himself. To make matters worse, we also realize that the church today is waning in its influence. As a whole, the church is engrossed in the folly of the church of Laodicea. It is overrun with lukewarmness. Instead of the church of Jesus Christ today being the mighty church that the Lord spoke of in Matthew 16, of which the gates of hell cannot prevail, we find a church today that struggles to advance the cause of its Savior. So as we study together the book of Nehemiah, we are learning how to remain determined to do the work of the Lord. Although many have turned back from that work of our Lord or have turned aside from following His perfect way, we as God's people need to stay the course and to, by determination, run the race and complete that race that has been laid before us. As we continue to study this portion of God's Word together tonight, we want to see again a faith that is able to move forward for the Savior. Let's bow and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time and our study together this evening, and then we'll pick up where we left off last week. Father, we thank You and praise You again that we're able to come back to the book of Nehemiah, that we might learn how we, as Your people, can remain determined to do and fulfill the work of our God. You have called us, Lord, as Your church to serve You. And moreover, it's required in stewards that men be found faithful. You long for a faithful church, a church that's on fire for You, doing what You have called us to do. Not concerned with what the world would think or what others would say, but consumed with a passion to do Your will. To come to the Scripture, to study it, to learn it, to apply it, and then to accomplish what You have for us in this present generation. Lord, You have called us to be light and salt in the earth. You have called us to make a difference in this day. And although there are many who have turned away and turned aside, let it not be said of us, not one here tonight. But may we remain determined to do what God has called us to do. Father, we'll thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We know so far from our study that Nehemiah was the man chosen of God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. God had chosen him specifically, not only to rebuild the walls, but as we'll see later on in our study, to bring about reform politically and spiritually to the lives of the people of that city. His work would be instrumental in not only just building the walls and providing protection for that day, but preparing the city of Jerusalem for the soon coming Messiah in just a little over 400 years. Through that coming of the Messiah, all the world would be blessed, for the Savior of the world had come. Nehemiah was a man determined to accomplish this task. And his determination caused him, first of all, to pray. To pray fervently for the opportunity to do that which had been laid upon his heart. It also caused him to be determined to live by faith. A faith that would allow him to remove mountains so that he could return to the land of Judah. And a faith that would allow him to keep moving forward in the work of his Lord. And that's really the whole concept that we're considering now in Nehemiah chapter 2, when we began our study in verse 9 last week. We saw together last week that Nehemiah's faith allowed him to move forward in the midst of problems. As Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem, there would be problems that he would have to face, and these are problems that you and I have to face in this generation as we seek to do the work of the Lord. He had to face the problem of oppressive enemies. Men like Sanballat and men like Tobiah and Geshem. These who would stand opposed to the work of God. Who would bring their ridicule, their accusations against Nehemiah and seek to stop the work of God. Nehemiah would stand against those oppressive enemies. He would also be faced with the problem of an overwhelming task. I remind you that the city of Jerusalem in circumference was 1.5 to 2.5 miles. That's a lot of wall to build. But there's also another problem. With the task so overwhelming, remember who it was that would be helping Nehemiah. He is working with the people, for the most part, who have been rather discouraged, who have given up on any hope of rebuilding the wall. There was overcoming the past and all their failures. Nehemiah, why should we try? No one's been able to rebuild those walls in 150 years. Why do it now? We're kind of content. We kind of learn to live with the situation. It really doesn't bother us that the walls are torn down. Why be so concerned about these things? And Nehemiah would have to come to a people who would have to overcome their past and their failures. Yet Nehemiah, in midst of all these problems, was never discouraged. Nehemiah instead willingly allowed his faith to develop a plan for how he and the people of God could accomplish God's work. So as we now come and we continue to study this section of God's Word, we find Nehemiah coming to present his plan to the people. So tonight I want us to consider the presentation of his faith. The presentation of his faith. We consider the problems. We consider the plan. But tonight I want us to see the presentation of his faith. Nehemiah chapter 2. Look with me if you would, beginning in verse 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word, which he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Nehemiah was a man determined to do the work of the Lord. He had set his mind to accomplish the task that God had laid before him. He has taken the time to consider the problems that he would face. He has developed a plan through the gathering of information. As he took the time to go through the night and begin to see the outlay of the land and to understand which parts of the wall would need the most work, because there were some that had greater destruction than others. How could we, as God's people, do such a work? So he made a plan. Up to that point, he had told no one of what he was there to do. But now Nehemiah comes and he begins to present by faith his plan to God's people. The time has come. It's now time for Nehemiah to divulge to God's people God's plan for his beloved city. This presentation begins in verse 17. And as he makes his presentation to his people, I want us to see what role his faith played in it. Nehemiah had faith that was willing to present God's plan to God's people. He understood what God wanted him to do. Now he had the responsibility to come before the people and to lay before them that which God had laid upon his heart. By the way, can I say to you that when God seeks to accomplish his will through his people, he always brings to them a man, and through that man, he leads. And Nehemiah, now by faith, presents the plan that God had given to him as the leader of the people of Israel. What does his faith do? Number one, I want you to see that his faith issued a challenge. Nehemiah had a faith in what God wanted to have accomplished. Nehemiah believed the walls could be rebuilt. No one else believed it. For 150 years, that wall lied waste. The gates were burned. There were attempts made, and then they were shut down, and no one else would desire to build the walls. But Nehemiah, by faith, believed that the walls could be built. And Nehemiah, in that faith, now comes to God's people, and he issues to them a challenge. See it with me in verse 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Here's the challenge. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. For months, Nehemiah has prayed. He has seen the Lord work. He has seen him answer his prayers. God has brought him now to the city, a city that he loved. And Nehemiah has made the plan. And now he comes to the people and by faith simply says to all of them, you see the city. You see the walls, how they're torn down. You can see with me, can you not, the gates that are burned with fire? By faith, come. Come and build the walls with me. There's a challenge. Nehemiah laid a challenge before his people, a direct challenge. He was convinced that this is what God wanted him to do, but he could not do it alone. Nehemiah would be incapable to build the walls alone. It would take all the people working together and each doing his part. So he makes the challenge, come, let us build the wall. Nehemiah didn't come and say, listen, let me tell you what I'm going to do. Nehemiah came and said, listen to all of us. Here's what God wants us to do. Come. Let us build the walls of Jerusalem. By faith, he accepted the challenge from the Lord. He waited patiently for the time when he would be able to do what God had instructed to him. And now, with that time at hand, he lays a challenge before God's people to whom he was called to lead. Come, let us build the walls together. That was the statement of his faith. I believe these walls can be rebuilt. I believe the gates which have been burned can be set in place again. God's protection can be upon us. Come, let us build. No one else believed that save Nehemiah. But he laid the challenge. He issued the challenge to God's people. Dale Carnegie told the story of a mill manager whose men just weren't producing. One day their owner came by. The owner's name was Charles Schwab. He came by to visit the mill and to see how things were going. Mr. Schwab sat with the manager and asked about production. The manager began to share his concern and his distress. He said to Mr. Schwab, of all the things that he had tried to accomplish, he tried to motivate them, he tried to punish them, he tried everything he could to get them to produce more, but they just weren't able to produce. Charles Schwab asked the manager, "How many heats were produced by the morning shift?" The manager replied, "6. Well, saying another word, Mr. Schwab took chalk, and right at the entryway, he wrote the number 6 on the floor, and then he left. The morning shift left, and the evening shift was on its way in. So when the evening shift came, they saw this big number 6 on the floor. So they began to inquire, "What is this number 6 here on the floor?" It was explained to them that their owner, Charles Schwab, had been there and asked how many heats the morning shift had done. When they told him that there were 6 heats, he wrote that on the floor. The night shift took that as a challenge. If they think they could only do 6, well, we're going to show them we could do one better. So they did 7. At the end of their shift, they came in, erased the number 6, and in larger number, they wrote 7. The morning shift came in. They saw the 7. Unwilling to be outdone, they worked hard, and everyone gave their all. At the end of the shift, they went to the floor, crossed out the 7, and wrote the number 10. In 24 hours, the mill workers increased their production by 66%. Dale Carnegie later concluded, "If you want to win spirited men to your way of thinking, throw down a challenge." You know what Nehemiah did? He threw down the challenge. "Come, let us build the walls together. It's no longer good enough for the walls to lie in waste. It is time that we gather together, that we rise and we build." So he challenged the people by faith. He believed in the work of the Lord. He was determined to complete God's work, but he couldn't do it alone. So to God's people, he laid and he issued a challenge. But you know, his faith did more than simply issue a challenge. His faith caused him to identify with the people. There's an identification with the people. We saw in chapter 1 that Nehemiah willingly identified with the people. You remember his prayer? In Nehemiah's prayer before God, he recognized that he had sinned, that his fathers had sinned. Now, Nehemiah hadn't lived in Jerusalem. Nehemiah had never lived in Jerusalem. He was born in captivity, and he lived in Shushan, the palace. He lived some 1,000 miles away. It wasn't his fault that the city lied in waste. It wasn't his fault that previous generations refused to rebuild those walls. He couldn't be blamed for their sins. Yet he identified with the people of God. And as we come to chapter 2, we see him again identifying with God's people. As he challenges them, he shows them that he was one of them, that he was going to work right alongside of them. Again, see the words that he uses. Ye see the distress that, what's the next word? We are in. Nehemiah is really not in distress, folks. He's only been there a few days. You see the distress that we are in. How Jerusalem lieth waste, the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build. He has issued the challenge to God's people, come and build. But he says, come, let us build. He identified with them. Although he was the leader, he was the governor of all of Judah, he willingly identified with them in the work. Nehemiah was not one who thought so highly of himself that he would not dirty his hands with the work. He was willing to work with them, that the work of God would be complete. Now, one thing is certain in my thinking. I believe that all those who serve in leadership in this ministry should be actively involved. Whether they are deacons or whether they're a part of our staff, whether we willingly say that we're going to teach a Sunday school class, I really believe that all who take a part in leadership ought to be actively involved. We don't have the right to ask of you what we ourselves are unwilling to do. It's my personal belief that if we're having a tract distribution, that every one of our deacons and every one of our staff ought to be there with me to go out with you to do God's work. If we're going to have a work day, I believe they ought to be there. I think they ought to be present. I don't think there's a good excuse not to be. We ought to accomplish together the work of the Lord. Whatever the project might be, those in leadership ought to be willing to get involved. And Nehemiah was one who identified with the people of God. He was willing to say, come, let us build. Let us together do the work of God. There is much that needs to be accomplished in our day. But I can't do it alone. And you can't do it without me. We together are to work in unity of mind and spirit that we might be able to do what God has called us to do. Nehemiah, by faith, issued a challenge, but he identified with the people. His faith allowed him to say, I'm willing to work. He made the plans, but he was willing to put his back to the labor to fulfill those plans. All who lead ought to have that same perspective. If not, they ought to consider whether or not they should be in a position of leadership. But we ought to be willing to do the work of the Lord. Third, I want you to see with me that by his faith, he gave inspiration for the work. There was an inspiration for the work. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. There's inspiration for this work. Here's the people that have been utterly discouraged in the work of the Lord. They have simply accepted the condition that they've been in. They've simply learned to live with it instead of accomplishing what God wanted done. To them, they were just used to it. It's good enough. It's okay. It's all right for us. We're used to seeing things that way. We don't mind. But God minded. His city, his beloved city, lie in waste. Its walls were in ruin. The gates had been burned with fire. His people whom he loved had been under affliction and distress. God cared. So did Nehemiah. And Nehemiah has to now come to these people and inspire them for the work. This great task that needed to be accomplished. How does he do it? Well, we find it at the end of verse 17, that we be no more a reproach. What's he say? What's the challenge? Well, Nehemiah is speaking to their nationalism. He is speaking to their patriotism. Let Israel be no more a reproach amongst the nations. We have been a laughingstock. No more. Come, let us build the walls together that we be no longer a reproach. I want you to transfer that in our day to day. I want to put it into the spiritual realm in which we live within the church. As we consider the church, as we consider its ministries, its facilities, we ought to be looking at and considering whether or not we as God's people of a heavenly citizenship, of a heavenly calling, are reproach unto God's people, unto the name of the Lord. Nehemiah said, come and let us build that we be no longer a reproach. You and I are citizens of heaven. We are children of God. Are we a people for His honor and for His glory? And that's the idea that Nehemiah is placing before the people of God. Let's build for the glory of our God, that we be no more a reproach. Israel was God's chosen people. Through them, all the nations of the earth should be blessed. At least that's what they proclaimed. Yet as the nations would look on, they must not have been much of a people, because God allowed their city, their beloved city, their capital city, that city which stood for everything in Israel, was a reproach. They can't even build the walls again. That city is nothing. As we consider that which is before us, as we look at our church, at our ministries that God has entrusted to us, are we by faith seeking to accomplish His will through us? What motivates us? What keeps us determined to do God's work? What keeps us moving forward in this generation? This generation which is waxing worse and worse in its iniquity. In a day and age in which the church is waning in its influence, we read the scriptures together and it says that we should be a church that is able to go forward, that the gates of hell should not prevail. And yet it seems as if we have no influence or power in our day. What motivates us now to do the work of God? What keeps us determined? What inspires that which should have always inspired us? The very glory of our God. All that we do and all that we say should be for His glory. Folks, it really doesn't matter what anyone thinks. It really doesn't matter what opinions we might have. It really doesn't matter what we've been taught in our past. We ought to look at things today and say, how can we be a people to the glory and praise of our God? Period. And that ought to be our motivation. That ought to be which helps us be determined in the work of the Lord. Notice, Nehemiah didn't promise them great rewards. He didn't tell them, what do we hear so much of today? If you give unto the Lord, He'll bless you above measure. Give so you can get. You ever heard of that kind of teaching? It's rampant in our society. It's rampant in the church. If you give to God, He'll give you more. So give that you can get. Wrong motivation. Nehemiah didn't tell them of any reward to come. He simply said, come, let us build that we be no longer a reproach. The glory of God was at stake. He didn't offer them positions of power as rulers and leaders in the land under His governorship. He inspired them to work because it was right. It's the right thing to do. Let us build that we be no longer a reproach. We're to do what we do today for the Lord because it's right. We are to give and we are to serve. We're to be involved because it's right and we want to bring honor and glory to the Lord. That's what helps us stay determined. His glory and His glory alone. I'm so thankful though that our God is gracious and He is good. He is kind beyond all measure. And the Bible does say that He will not forget our labor of love, which we have done in His name. He will reward. However, we build for His glory, not for what we might get. That's really not all that important. If God would give us anything in return, all of that one day you understand will be turned and given back unto Him. Every crown that we own will not be taken and taken to the mantle of our mansion and set there for us to glory and look with all these wonderful things that I've been given. I got this crown for this, and I got this. Oh, look at the precious stones that filled this one. Aren't I a wonderful person? We're not going to go invite Abraham. Say, Abraham, come on in with me. I want to show you my crowns. Everything that He gives as reward, we give back.
in our worship to Him. It's all for His glory, and that's what He used to inspire. Come, let us build, that we no longer be a reproach.
Finally, tonight I want you to see the information for their strength. The information for their strength, verse 18. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. I like verse 18. Nehemiah said, listen, I'm going to give you a challenge. I'm going to identify you with God's people, and I want to give you that which inspires you. But as I finish this whole challenge, I want to give you the information that will help strengthen you. And Nehemiah laid before them all that God had done. Let me tell you about the testimony of the Lord. Let me tell you about how God came and laid this upon my heart. Let me tell you about the specific prayers that I offered. And let me show you how He specifically answered. And by the way, let me tell you what the king has done. By the way, I think it's interesting that he gave credit to whom credit was due. The king had made him successful, but it was God's good hand that had done it. It's amazing how God is able to do His work. He doesn't always use His people to accomplish His work, does He? Sometimes He even uses secular means to accomplish it. He used the hand of the king. Nehemiah said, I want to praise God for what He has done. He shared with them all that had been done. By faith he had followed the Lord, and his faith he had been strengthened. And Nehemiah shares with them all that God had done, that their faith too would be strengthened. I've always been amazed at how a simple testimony is able to help one who is struggling. When we are willing to but share what God has done within our own heart and with our own lives, let me tell you of God's faithfulness to me. It makes a world of difference. It may be that another brother or sister is struggling to do what they know is right. Maybe in the area of their finances or in the area of their home. Maybe a brother or sister is contemplating a particular area of service in the Lord. Whatever that case may be, whatever they may be facing, your testimony may be a real blessing unto them. Let me share with you what it was like when I first took over and taught a Sunday school class. Let me tell you about the blessings I get every time I serve in the nursery. Well, let me tell you what the Lord's done as we've gone out and we've worked in VBS, or as we've gone out and we've done some flyer distribution. Let me tell you what the Lord's been doing. Let me share with you what God's been doing within our home. Here's some decisions that we have made. And boy, God has been so good. We thought it'd be so hard, but God has been so good. Our testimony is a wonderful way to strengthen other people. And that's what Nehemiah does. Let me tell you about the good hand of my God. And as they hear that, they willingly say, let us rise up and build. They strengthen their hands for this good work. They accepted the challenge. For 150 years, the walls lied in waste. For 150 years, there were no gates of protection. They had been burned with fire. Others attempted, all others had failed. But God placed His hand upon one man named Nehemiah. Although a member of the family, to the people of Jerusalem at that time, he was the outsider. He had lived 1,000 miles away. God brought in the outsider and said, now here's the work that needs to be done. And Nehemiah, by faith, developed the plan. Nehemiah, by faith, presented the plan. And a wonderful thing happened. By faith, the people responded. By faith, they followed their leader. And by faith, they accomplished God's work. What a wonderful thing. As you go on, you find out that they not only accomplished God's work, they did it speedily. No one ever expected that in 52 days, with such an overwhelming task, that it be done. But it was. Why? Because God gave to them a man of faith who was willing to move forward, who was willing to overcome the problems of the past, the problems of oppressive enemies. He was willing to overcome everything that came his way by faith, because he believed in what God had to do. He believed in the work. He was willing to identify with God's people. So he issued the challenge. Come. Come and let us build, that we no longer be a reproach. Beloved, you and I have a great work before us. There is much that the Lord wants us to do for his glory. I must admit to you that my heart is excited of what lies ahead. I think it's a wonderful age in which we live. And I think that in days to come, you're going to see with me what the Lord has in store. When the time is right, we're going to talk about those things in more detail. But I believe that the glory of the Lord is before us, and we can accomplish much for his glory. And I believe that exciting days lie before us, because I believe in our God. And you and I, by faith, can accept the work that he has for us. And whatever our hand findeth to do, we ought to do it with all of our might. We ought to give God our very best, for he is worthy of it. There is work to be accomplished. But you know what? I can't do it alone. The staff who works with me can't do it with just us. It can't be just the deacons and myself. It has to be all of us. Together, the people of Jerusalem rebuilt the walls. Together, the people of First Baptist Church can accomplish the work that God has for us if we're willing to walk by faith. A faith that moves forward. A faith that follows God and follows the man that God has given to you. By God's grace, we'll be able to accomplish that work in the days ahead. Let's pray.